Okay, now this morning what I want to talk about, there's some things that I want to communicate which are by way of information. As Janet says, we've timed this morning is very much linked into Ashwood News, so there's some information that I want to share. But I want to link what I want to say this morning very much to something that I started talking about last week. So if you weren't around, I want to catch you up very, very quickly. Last week, I started by reading a couple of verses out of Colossians that say this: "We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honour and please the Lord," so vitally important, "and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." And we said at the start of 2015, we're still talking about growing. God's talked to us about what it means to grow. And we will produce every kind of good fruit as we honour and please the Lord. And how will we grow? As we learn to know God better and better. And I was saying that a lot of people say, "I don't know what my purpose is." Have you ever heard people say that? "I don't know what my purpose is." There's people in this room who said that to me, in fact. "I don't know what my purpose is." And we tend to connect our purpose with everything that we do and everything that we accomplish. And that's the message that the world constantly presents to us, isn't it? They say, "Well, what is your purpose?" And we relate that to what we've done or what we're doing or what we accomplish. But I had this very short quote that said, actually, before you decide what to do, you need to determine who you want to be. And if being is more important than doing, then I said that our purpose comes down to two things. These: glorify God and enjoy him forever, and then becoming more like Jesus. And if you've been on Freedom in Christ course, then both of those things will sound familiar. And I believe that if we get these two things at the top spot in our lives, and everything we do comes from that place, it means that actually even the apparently mundane and routine parts of our lives can be enjoyed, not just endured, because we can see how they contribute or enable us to do the things that help us to live in the light of eternity. And I was saying that in 2014, some of us, many of us, were reminded of the frailty and the brevity of life here on earth. And that's why we ended our meeting last week agreeing together. I had this phrase that I want to kind of wave a flag at the start of this year and say, it's from an old song. It says, "I want to give my life to something that will last forever." And we prayed that prayer at the end of our meeting last week, and we talked about it a little bit together. And if you didn't get one of these to put on, I said this is kind of like one of those phrases that you sometimes stick on your fridge. We realise that it's possible these days with technology to actually produce things that you can stick on your fridge. And if you weren't here last week, you're really welcome to take one of these home if your fridge has got some space on it. Ultimately, that's why we're so passionate about Freedom in Christ. Yes, it's a big commitment, isn't it, for 14 weeks to be together. But listening to the stories this morning and the stories that we haven't heard, we're just so convinced that it's an amazing investment in our lives that has a potential to last forever. That's why we do these. That's why we do the things that we do. And there's lots of people nodding at me, which is great. So today, I want to talk about what I believe God is saying to us at the start of 2015. I want to talk about some of the plans. And of course, we still believe that God wants us to grow. It's not that we've turned over on our calendar and God's saying something different to us. Of course not. We still want Ashwood Church to be a place where we can grow together, where we flourish, where we do produce good fruit. And we spent time in 2014 talking about what that fruit looks like in our lives. We said that actually, if we've got the Spirit of God living us, then what happens? We produce good fruit. That's just the cause and effect. It's the outcome of what happens when we do that, when we have the Spirit of God living in us. But as I was praying, I think it was November, December time, I felt God wanted to just almost add something to that and build on top of it. And I was drawn to a simple phrase. And if you want to find it in your Bibles, then it comes at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Samuel's in the Old Testament if you want to find it. Otherwise, you can follow on the screens. It will be up there in a moment. This is part of the story of David. And If you know anything about David, you'll know that he's described as a man after God's heart. He wasn't perfect, but that's how God describes him. Let's lead from verse 1. Just catch up with this part of the story. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They'd attacked Ziklag and burnt it, taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but they carried them off as they went away. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Another translation puts it this way, this final verse, David strengthened himself in the Lord. And back in November time, I don't know what it was. I think I may have been having a conversation with someone somewhere. And this phrase I was just reminded of it. And I looked it up and reminded myself where it came from. And of course, you just caught a quick snapshot of David's life. And we need to understand the context of this situation. I don't know about you, but some days don't feel like the best days. You know, when people ask you the question at the end of the day, have you had a good day, have you had a bad day? We have ups and downs in our lives, don't we? Well, David finds himself, this is where he's at. He's been told that he's going to become the king, but Saul, who is the current king, has chased him out of his own homeland. David's feared for his life. The place that he's living in, Ziklag, while they've been away, he's been burnt to the ground. His wives have been kidnapped and his children, and as well as all that, when he comes back, all his men who he've been with are starting to blame him for the whole thing. So now not only has he got his own personal situation, but everyone around him has now become bitter towards him and they're talking about stoning him. Well, I don't know about you, but that's probably beyond my definition of what a bad day looks like. And yet, and of course, there's lots of things that we don't know. There's lots of questions we have that we don't know all the circumstances of what's happening in David's life. But this little phrase that came at the end of that sentence, it said, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Or David found strength in the Lord. Just hit me that actually that is what God is wanting to do for many, if not all of us. And we talked a lot about growing, but I believe that at the start of 2015, that one of the things that God wants to do for us as individuals, but also as church, is to find strength in the Lord, in perhaps ways that we've not done before. And as we heard some of the stories this morning, so there's a bunch of stuff that we did throughout the autumn series. Freedom in Christ is one of them. We also did Alpha, and we spent time together, many of us, in these things we call going deeper, the Bible study series, just allowing God to stretch us, grow us, not just our minds, but something in our spirits as well. And I just believe that actually what God is doing is kind of building on that, and that God is wanting to put strength into our lives in ways that we've not known before. But the reason that I like I like this version of the translation, that David strengthened himself in the Lord, actually is a choice that David made. There was something that he had to do before he got it. Now, there's many things in God's kingdom where it's to do with, there's two parts to a transaction, if you like. There's our part, and then there's the part that God's going to do. And sometimes we focus on more on one than the other. But actually, the truth is that if we open ourselves up, if we create the space in our lives, then God always does his bit because he's faithful to his promises. So I believe that actually God is going to strengthen things in us personally as individuals. And some of you already know some of the things that you'd like God to strengthen in your lives. as I speak this morning, I believe that, you know, things are going to come into your minds, things are going to be highlighted to you. There's going to be things where you're perhaps facing things in your lives where you're just going, God, I need your strength in that particular situation, that particular circumstance. And before we finish this morning, I want us to pray for that. But I just want to just outline some of the things that, as we've talked together and we've put together some plans which we believe will help us strengthen some parts of our lives, specifically as church, at the start of 2015. I just want to give you some of those things this morning. So strengthen what? What are we going to strengthen together as church? Well, if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be and do the things that God wants us to do, it seems obvious, but prayer is such an important part of that. And that's why if you picked up some of the information that's been around the last few weeks, we've talked of the idea of, once again, dedicating ourselves to specifically 21 days of prayer starting tomorrow. If you listen or you read the stories of mighty men and women of God who are mighty men and women of God, but also have done amazing exploits for God, there's always one thing that's in common, always the one common denominator, and that is that they learn how to pray. And one of my goals in 2014, and still one of my goals in 2015, is for us as church to grow in the whole area of prayer. None of us are experts. We're all on a journey. We're all learning. I'm grateful that I've got people around who I look to in terms of maturity in their faith, who can help. And one of the things that I recognize that people who are growing, people who are mature in their faith, they are praying. They are prayer people. They're men and women of God who put God first in their lives and have prayer very high on their agenda. And in Ashwood News, there's more information about how we might do some of those things together. There's the opportunities to, but we haven't got a huge program of things where we're going to gather every day or anything like that, because really, this is kind of like a ground level. This is kind of a grassroots. Let's dedicate ourselves individually and in our families to pray, to come before God. And then when we are together, I expect things will flow out of that. That there'll be a sense that as we pray on our own, pray in our families, that when we come together at certain times and opportunities, things will rise up. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do as part of this 21 days, you know, that phrase, David strengthened himself in the Lord. One of the best ways, I think, of strengthening ourselves in the Lord, if you want some practical advice, I heard someone talking at the one event, and he was saying that one of the things that he does, he's one of these people I'm talking about, by the way, who I see as a mighty man of God, and he's one of these people who prays for an hour every morning, reads his Bible for an hour every morning. I don't know about you, I'm still working on that. But actually, he said that the thing he does is he just speaks in tongues for a length of time. I think he speaks in time of half an hour or so. It might have even been longer. And he just said, the reason he did that, he said, if you want to, I can't do his accent, but he's a guy called Steve Uppel. He lives in Wolverhampton. And he said, you know, if you want to know why I do that, he said, it strengthens my inner man. And I'd love that phrase, because I thought, I don't know about you, but I need something that's going to strengthen my inner man. And it's not because I've ticked a box and I've done something, you know, we're going to get messed up if that's the way we think, aren't we? But actually, I know that something changes in my inner man as I've started to learn what it means to do that. So, and it might not be for hours and hours, but perhaps you dedicate 10 minutes. Perhaps you start somewhere. Let's not get too hung up on the time span, but let's make an intention to start somewhere and to get stuck in. Yeah, I put in my notes here that if we commit to doing that, then I promise you that you will be strengthened. It's not a money back guarantee, because it doesn't involve money, but I feel that strongly about it. And one of the things that we prayed last year, and I believe this comes out as well, is that actually, if you remember, those of you around in November, we're talking about growing in worship, and we said that we'd love to see the spiritual temperature in our church, in our community, somehow increased. And I believe that that's one of the things that as we strengthen ourselves in prayer, that is one of the outcomes as well. And then in February, there I mentioned, we'll also spend some time looking again at some Bible, going deeper in Bible and prayer. So what else? Another thing that I felt God say really clearly was that, and we're doing this, we will do it, it's part of who we are, but actually one of the things that God wants to do is strengthen our relationships, both inside and outside of church. You know, as church, we describe ourselves as what we call a relational church. We want people to feel welcome. We want people to benefit from being part of God's family. And I don't know about you, but there's so many times that I'm grateful that I am part of my personal family, but also so grateful to be part of God's big family. And as I look round the room this morning, we could have another feedback session where we could ask people to stand up here and who would tell you stories of what it means to be part of God's great big family. Isn't that true that sometimes we need very practical things and there's people in this room who will support, care, love for one another, not just in words but in very practical ways of support, meals, offers for help and helping people with painting, decorating, just things that actually speak so often louder than words. And that's so important to us as church. Worth just saying something about life groups at this point as well, because that's a key part of what I'm talking about. One of the things that we are in the process of working on is relaunching our life groups. You remember that those of you who are part of life group or part of church, we pressed pause on that last summer. And we said we just want to take some space to determine exactly what the purpose of our life groups are, make sure that we're focused, we're doing things right, we're looking at things in the right way, and then we're ready to relaunch. And we're excited, we're looking forward to, we've had lots of great conversations, we're excited about relaunching those after Easter. So at the moment, if you're connected to a life group, then it's still the place for finding support and, if you like, an anchor. But we're not proposing to have lots of meetings in our life groups, but we will do after when we relaunch after Easter. So I just wanted to be clear on that. Alongside that, this relational thing then is also, as church, we're committed to helping people. What we said was, we had this phrase, helping people to find and follow Jesus. And of course that's within our church community, but also outside our church community as well. And two of the things that we wanted to look at, and again, this is for me, this is part of strengthening, is that the number of people, good bunch of people, we kind of did a part of our growing was we ran an alpha course for in the autumn. And part of the reason for doing that was because we wanted to get ourselves ready, wanted to prepare ourselves so that we could do an alpha course where we're ready to invite lots of people. We're going to do that in February. We're really excited about the possibility. Those of you who've heard about alpha, who was actually on the alpha kind of, see, there's a bunch of people who did alpha in the autumn, and the reason we wanted to do that was we wanted to prepare ourselves, get ready, so that in the same way that we are passionate and excited about freedom in Christ because we know what it is and we know what it's up to, we want to get the same level of passion and excitement about alpha so that when we're inviting people we know what we're inviting them to. But if you've not done it, you'd like to get involved, then there's plenty of space and opportunity for you to do that. You see, we're looking for ways, meaningful ways, where we can introduce people to help them find Jesus. And of course, there's other areas within church that will continue during this year. All the stuff that we do with Food Bank, and you know, we talked a bit about Make Lunch over Christmas season. Again, all this information is in Ashwood News. that's important to us. The other thing that's up there, I had a real sense that actually one of the things that God wanted to strengthen in our church community is the whole thing of marriage. It's great from time to time to have a health check on our marriages within church. Those of you who've been married for any period of time will know that God seems to use marriage to develop our character. How many people would say that is true? Just seems to be one of the things that he does. And we know that it's... those of you who've been married for a while will know that it's not always straightforward. And actually, we want to create an opportunity to say, let's strengthen something in the whole area of marriage. I find myself more and more, 2014, praying for marriage within church. It's just one of the things that God's put on my heart, that I just believe that God wants to strengthen. Of course, we know it's not easy. We know there are times when we know of people who face very difficult circumstances. But we know that God's committed to marriage, and we want to invest time in that as well. So we're gonna run the marriage course. It's one of these. It's a brilliant course. Some of you in the room have done it. We've not done it for a while as church, but we just felt it was the time to offer that as an opportunity again. And it's one of those things where, of course, it's 7 weeks. It's an investment, and there may be people in this room who. Maybe you're not, you won't necessarily want to do it, but you can offer to facilitate someone else. Perhaps there's people who could babysit. It's something where couples go together. It's non-threatening, relaxed environment. There's no group work, but it's just a great opportunity to invest in that. So again, there's more information. Finally, two more things. Now, these are kind of more specific, talking about strengthening a couple of specific things. Again, you've probably heard about some of these if you've read Ashwood News and picked up the information before, but one of the things that we talked about last year and some people have done some training for is something called the CAP Money Course. And that starts, is it a week tomorrow? Yeah, it's only a week tomorrow. And this is something which actually is great for anyone who wants to think a little bit about budgeting, being wise with money. If you want to... sometimes it's looked upon as for people who are struggling with their finances, and it is great for that, but it's also good for those people who just want to think about how to steward their money a little bit better. Because actually, those of us who have little or those of us who have lots, there's always ways that we can perhaps do things to improve that. And the course is actually, it's rooted in the gospel, it's rooted in living with godly principles, very biblical. It's for 3 weeks. And we want to run this alongside some of the things we do. We know that people who come to food bank or people who have challenging situations that actually will benefit from this as well. So this is kind of like our tester, but we want to run it within church for 3 weeks. It's great. There's people who've done it, and the people who know about it are there, all the people who are nodding positively at me. And then the final one... is in the whole area of worship. You know, within Ashford Church, we have a brilliant worship team. We actually punch above our weight in terms of worship. It's always been something that has been throughout the history. Those of you who've been around for many, 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 many years will know that worship has always been a key part of who we are as church, and we're so grateful for that. When I talk to some of my friends, and they talk about who is able to support and lead worship. So many churches have got a guitar, a recorder and a tambourine, and those people are playing week in, week out, and yet we have rotors, complicated systems to try and help us facilitate having the worship team that we've got. And I'm so grateful for so many people who dedicate their time, they come early, they pack down, they do loads of things to serve us in church. And there's a course that we've looked at for a while, and never really felt that we had the opportunity to do it. But in this season of strengthening stuff, we just felt that actually we're going to create some space. We're going to invite the whole worship team to be involved. But I would say that if you're not part of the worship team and you'd still like to be involved, some of the course is practical, thinking about how we lead worship together as a team, but a lot of it is biblical stuff that will just strengthen who we are as worshippers of the living God. So if you're interested in being involved but you're not part of the worship team, then that's absolutely fine. We welcome you to do that. So as I say, lots of information is all in here in the Ashwood News, but very quickly, just so that you've got some people that you can connect with if you wanted to find out a bit more, these people will all jump up as I speak. So if you want to get involved or interested in Alpha, then talk to John. He's just jumping up now. If you want to find out a bit more about the marriage course, then Eric and Margaret are going to facilitate that. Look at that. It's a good jump. The Cap Money course, you need to speak to Tamsin. She's gone into zones. She was the lady who was singing here earlier, if you can remember. And then in terms of the worship course, then either Paul or David are the two people to contact. Not quite such good jumpers, although both have got fine jumpers. They've got fine jumpers. we just get a sense. I'm excited about some of these opportunities. Again, you know, you realise that most of these things require some investment from us. But I believe that in the context of giving our lives as something that has lasted forever, as we talked about freedom in Christ this morning, you know, most, if not all those people will tell you that giving up 14 weeks actually to where they're at today, to be free from fear, to have not just an understanding, but a life-transforming revelation of what it means to be forgiven, and to have that physically almost burden lifted, to have our eyes fixed on the things which are important to us, to know that we are children of God. You know, how many times have you sat in that chair and someone said you're a child of God, and you kind of went, yeah, I kind of get it, yeah, it might be. But somehow something happens. It's called revelation, when you know that you're a child of God. And actually, there's no better news this morning than to know that you're a child of God. There's lots of places in the Bible that talk about strength. Just before we finish, there's two things I want to do. One of them is just to read another scripture which links the whole idea of growing and the whole idea of strength. If you want to read it, I'm going to just quickly look at Romans 5, the start of Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And I love this passage for lots of different reasons, but particularly as I was thinking about the whole thing of strength, my response isn't always to rejoice when I run into problems and trials. I don't know about you. I'm trying to learn to do it a bit better. In our family, we encourage one another when we see a problem or a trial to say, an opportunity to rejoice. Perhaps I'm sure you do in your family too. Not easy or straightforward, but if that's what Paul is recommending to the Romans, I think it's pretty good advice for us too. Because I don't know about you, but I want my character strengthened, and I also want to have a confident hope of salvation strengthened too. This week, in my other workplace, doing a bit of accounting, making carpet. That's what I do. I don't do a lot of the carpet manufacture, but some of it. Those of you who went back to work this week after having a couple of weeks off, I'm sure you found, like me, it was a great blessing to be back in the office alongside colleagues. You were rejoicing. And if your work is anything like my work, oh dear, this is on the podcast, anyone could listen to it. The first day back, there's lots of people, you answer the question a lot of times, how was your Christmas? Does anyone else find that? So a lot of people ask a lot of questions. And actually, if you don't, it seems almost a little bit rude, and, you know, just to plough on. And actually, it's quite nice to catch up. But I find myself, I don't know about those of you who go back into offices and things, but I find myself in lots of conversations with people. And some of them were saying, yeah, we had a nice time, it was great. But so many people were saying to me, well, there was this difficulty, there was a family illness, there was struggles with so-and-so. And, you know, when families get together, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's hard work, isn't it? The Christmas is a time of year where we often, many of us, we press pause on the routine and the ongoing stuff that flies at 100 miles an hour, and we just have a moment to pause. And some of the things we think about are good, and some of them actually remind us of things that we are without, or sense of loss or missing things. And I had plenty of conversations like that. You know, just unbelievable. People in the office who someone had passed away, or a family friend had, you know, lots of difficult circumstances. And when that happens, you know, if you're like me, you almost, there's a bit of a build-up. And I found myself, you know, sympathising with people, empathising with people, saying, oh, you know, it sounds tough, da-da-da. And I realised at the end of the day, or at the end of Tuesday, I think it was, I had 2 days worth. I was walking to my car in the car park, and just felt that kind of weight on my shoulders, and thinking, you know, this is tough. So many people. What can I do? What can I pray? I found myself praying, crawling out to God. And I don't know about you, but I had something rising up within me that said, God, these people need you. That's really what they need. And I felt like I had a bit of revelation. And rather than tell you about it, I'll show you. Because this is the thought I had. And those of you who, how many people here have engaged in the activity or game of rock, paper, scissors? Everybody familiar with that? Okay, well, just so that you remember this point, we're just going to quickly play a game of rock, paper, scissors, okay? It's part of the message this morning. And the way we do this, have you ever played it with 112 people? Okay, well, there's a relatively quick way of doing it. And what we have to do is, Carl, I need you to help me with this. Thank you. Be careful with your hands. Be careful. I'd like everyone just to stand up, please. Carl, you'll face this way. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And by the way, no cheating. Don't forget we are. This is church. On three, I'd like you to make the symbol of one of the things, rock, paper or scissors. Most people nodded. So if there are people who have no idea what we're doing, then just go along. Go with the flow. Rock, paper, scissors, and then you'll make one of these gestures. Carl will then pick out one of them with his eyes closed, and if you have the item, so basically rock breaks scissors, paper wraps rock, and the other one scissors cut paper. Yeah, I haven't revised this bit. I'm okay on the scriptural stuff, but this is the bit I haven't revised. So, okay, so we're going to do that after three. One, two, three, and then you do it. You pick one of those. Carl's going to call it out. If the one that he says is the one that trumps yours, then you sit down and you're out. You're wondering what the heck I'm on about? The reason, very simply, was this. I realised that in the car park at work, that actually the thing that trumps everything is the good news of Jesus. So actually, all the people I'd spoken to who were in situations of despair, hopelessness, pain, suffering, the reality is, and it hit me in the car park, was that actually the good news of Jesus trumps every single one of those things. And I don't know if you're like me, but I know that's true. But I obviously don't know it's true significantly every time to always get it right in the conversations that I have. Now, of course, it's not always appropriate to whack out your Bible in the middle of the office and have a God conversation. But sometimes it is. And a lot of the time, I think one of the things that God wants to strengthen is our confidence. That scripture there in Romans 5, that says it will strengthen our confident hope of salvation. But I believe actually God is going to strengthen the confidence we have in the hope for salvation. My relationship with God, your relationship with God, trumps every feeling of despair, every situation with fear, every situation where there's lack of hope. Because all things really are possible through Christ who lives in me, or another translation says, through Christ who gives me strength. So I believe that God wants to give us strength and wants to strengthen us.